From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Here's an interesting fact about politics in Washington these days. The Democrats in Congress and the White House have enacted yet another major piece of legislation, overhaul of the financial regulatory system. So for 18 months' work, that's financial overhaul on top of an economic stimulus bill, the health care bill, the buildup in Afghanistan, the drawdown in Iraq, and two Supreme Court nominations. Two-term presidents have achieved less, and yet the polls show the Democrats are in some trouble in terms of presidential approval and in terms of forecasts for the November elections. Here to make crystalline clear sense of this and other matters are our two regular political observers, columnists E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times. Hi.
Hi. Good to be with you.
E.J., one explanation is very simple. The Democrats have an approach to government. They're now able to implement it, and most people don't like it or they think it's not working.
Well, the Democrats could campaign all over the country and blame an ungrateful public, but I don't think they're about to do that before the election. How about this for explanations? Unemployment over 9% when the administration, in a mistaken projection, said it would go down to 8% and keep dropping. Sluggish job growth, particularly in the last 2 months. Gridlock in the legislative process caused by Republicans in the Senate, but easily blamed on Democrats since they're the ones in charge. And lastly, a moderately progressive president who annoys the right, but who could not possibly live up to being the Moses that the left hoped for. I think all those things help you get to sluggish poll numbers.
You're saying a mistaken forecast, not a mistaken remedy for the problem of unemployment.
Right. Well, the poll suggests that the stimulus is not very popular. There are polls suggesting the stimulus gets all mixed up in people's minds with the bank bailout, which is deeply unpopular, even if it was necessary and even if it happened under President Bush.
David?
Well, the jobs are obviously part of it, the unemployment rate. But I guess my one-word answer would be liberalism. This is a country that's extremely suspicious of government. It's a country that's extremely suspicious of liberalism, even after a financial meltdown caused by Wall Street and the big national disaster caused – or environmental disaster caused by a big oil company. And what they see is Obama and the Democrats being liberal. The number of independents who say the Democratic Party is too liberal has shot up by 22 percentage points in a year. And so what we've seen is this massive shift in the polls, not only away from Democrats, but to Republicans. There was a poll today. Republicans have been now in a slight advantage on what they call the generic congressional ballot, who are you going to vote for? Mm-hmm. And there was a poll today, if Newt Gingrich ran against Barack Obama, who would you vote for? And Gingrich won by 1 point. Barack Obama against Sarah Palin, they were tied. And so that's not only disappointment.
It's got to be Rasmussen.
No, it was not a Rasmussen poll.
Okay, here's the lead out of Las Vegas on another poll. It's a story today. It says, Senator Harry Reid, majority leader, has opened a strong lead over Republican opponent Sharron Angle after pummeling her in a ubiquitous TV and radio ad campaign that portrays the Tea Party favorite as too extreme. That's from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. They have that race now 44-37%. Reid, who is so weak. Is the Tea Party beginning to do real damage to a Republican Party that could otherwise claim much greater gains?
In some places. In Nevada, yes. In Kentucky, the Republican there, Rand Paul's in surprisingly bad shape. I happen to think he'll probably swing it out. What's going to happen? You're having a wave election. Republicans are going to do very well. They're going to sweep in a lot of odd candidates who are going to underperform. On the other hand, I suspect they're doing better than expected in places like Wisconsin and California. So what you'll get is a lot of Republicans losing some races they should win because of bad candidates and probably winning some races you'd expect them to lose. What's happened over the last couple weeks is people who expected the Republicans to take the House, you're beginning to hear over the last couple weeks that they may take the Senate. I'm still doubtful about that, but it's a sign of the shift in the last couple weeks.
See, I'm starting to go the other way again. I think that if the election were held right now, Democrats would hold the Senate and lose the House narrowly. But I'm not sure it's going to stay there. And for one thing, I think you're right in asking about the Tea Party, because I think the Republicans will throw away certain races that they could have won because their candidates are going to be too right-wing. A lot of the voters who may not be liberal are also not on the extreme right. And those three, Nevada, Kentucky, and I would add Florida, where Charlie Crist could win as an independent with a lot of Democratic support, are races they're throwing away. But I think you could see some chipping away at this Republican advantage. I looked at a Washington Post poll this week, which generally did not have particularly good news for the Republicans. But what you found
for
is...
For the Republicans or
I mean,
or
for the Democrats, yeah. I'm sorry. But what you found is glacial movement in both self-identification in terms of party. Democrats down from 35 right in the heat of the 08 election, mm-hmm. in November, down to 30 won, but Republicans, I'm at 31 now, but Republicans were down to 26, down to 24. Independents had grown. And conservatives had gained all of 2 percentage points. So I'm not sure there's a revolution going on yet. And this one piece of good news for Democrats in this Washington Post poll, this enthusiasm gap, which is real and which we've talked about, may be shrinking as Democrats react to the fear that Republicans might actually win the election.
Well, see, E.J. has actually written about what I think is the core dilemma for Democrats. They have to fire up the liberal base at the same time they win over the independents. The movement, the Tea Parties are kind of important, but the real movement in politics over the past year has been independents, who Obama carried, now swing strongly the Republicans.
Now, I want to get to an issue that, E.J., that you wrote about this past week, which was the criticism from NAACP Peter Benjamin Jealous that the Tea Party is at least tolerant of racism in its ranks. Do you think that's really a fair criticism of what is a grassroots movement that's not being coached by a lot of political consultants and advertising producers around the country?
Not only do I think it's a fair criticism, but I really admired the way Ben Jealous and the NAACP framed the issue, because they did not say the Tea Party is racist. What they said is that there were racial elements in the Tea Party. People had behaved with their signs, with some of the things they said, in racist ways. And they called upon those Tea Party members and leaders who themselves are not racist to repudiate this, and strongly and publicly. It's exactly what the left, Democratic left, has been asked to do, rightly, in repudiating extremism and flag burning and other sorts of expressions on the left. In a sense, the racists are the flag burners of the Tea Party movement. And I think the NAACP was right to call them out.
Quite a few black Republicans came out to say it's unfair. David Brooks, what do you think about
it? Well, I think the NAACP was right to condemn it. That's their job, to condemn racism where it exists. And there is some, you see the signs, it's certainly there, and it should be condemned. You shouldn't expect that it's going to have a big effect on the Tea Party movement. When your political opponents call on you to expunge members from your movement, you tend to get your back up even more. And so it does backfire. If I could just say one thing, though, I was at a Tea Party rally at the National Mall last summer, and it happened to be at the same time as an event called the Black Family Reunion, which is a celebration of African-American culture. And so I watched these two groups intermingle for a couple hours, and the atmosphere was very warm and friendly. And that doesn't mean there weren't some racists in the crowd. There certainly were. But the atmosphere was a sign of how good people genuinely are about, at least in those circumstances.
And, one quick word.
Oh, and to his credit, Ben Jealous said precisely, there are black Tea Party members, too. We are only asking that racism, where it appears, be condemned, and I think it's the right thing to do.
E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post, David Brooks of The New York Times, thanks to both of you once again.
Thank you.
We've been talking. This is NPR News.